Have you noticed even his like tone and way of speaking has become more similar to Trump, even?
Yes.
Right when he
Yes.
talks, he's like, "Oh, he's not. It's
Of
look,
course.
folks, is this tremendous, huge? Listen for it, you'll hear it."
Okay.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. And I'm not drunk, but I did drink at least a vodka and lemonade. I might have to have another one. Trying to put this game into perspective. I mean, all he had to do was open his arms. Fundamental football would have saved this game. But if you're going to take a silver lining perspective, I'd much rather this happen in the divisional round than in the next one or two games. Things could be much worse. I mean, after all, we could have blown a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl in a few weeks. So we're going to try and put things into perspective. We know a lot of people. We even got a few tweets there, asked people saying, I can't wait for the show. This is going to be the therapy that I need to get over this, hopefully. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
You write a question mark in your intro?
I did for that one.
I did.
I'm not drinking anything. I am a zero. I have basically just kind of shut myself off the last 24 hours. Haven't logged into Twitter. Haven't listened to radio, watched TV, internet.
So you,
that's just the way I'm. That's the way that I'm trying to deal with it. Basically,
you wrapped yourself in a burrito on the couch.
Something like that.
All right, you know, Damon. Welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling all right, Jeff. I mean, I've kind of like Jason. I've been radio silence for the last 24 hours and plan on being all this week. I don't want to relive the disaster, but I think next week I'll be able to watch the game and enjoy.
Even the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll be able to watch and enjoy the two teams.
Okay.
Pull for Philadelphia.
All right. And then we do have with us to help play the role of therapist and even keel thinker, Courtney. Welcome to the show. And what's your number?
0.5, and I don't know, I've been going through, I've tried to think about this and what happens, I don't know, therapeutically or a way to try to make me feel better about it, so I don't know, I've got some different thoughts that I'd like to share later, but yeah, I mean, somber, down, I have been on Twitter, but really nothing else, I haven't watched the highlight of the play, I turned the game off kind of right away once it was final and like there was no flags or, you know, craziness. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. What can you say? But
well, we have to talk about it in thorough, not just the play, but the entire game, I guess, in the game recap. The tale of two halves, which, you know, going into the first thing that I would say even, we look at the play because you're in that position and that's the play, but there was a lot of plays as to why we lost this game.
Right. Marcus Williams is not the reason we lost this game by any stretch of the imagination.
Who is?
Well, again, everyone. It's a 60-minute
fucking.
Drew Brees overthrew Kamara on one play, you know.
The underthrew Ginn on the interception.
Right. Underthrew Ginn. I mean, so it's Drew Brees' fault. Fuck him. I mean, you know, it's a football game.
Lutz missed a field goal.
I'm sure somebody missed a block. Lutz missed a field goal. I'm sure someone missed a block somewhere in the fucking game that got a tackle by, you know. It's a football game. It's never one person's fault. That's just ridiculous. Unless it's, you know, something really silly, but Aaron Brooks throwing
it's
back.
It's not one person's fault at all.
Not right. That's what I'm saying. It is, at least this game, no, it's not one person's fault. Where were we the first half?
Not there.
Yeah, that was a bad.
Where were we?
I don't know.
How do you change between the first half and the second?
I can't stand the strip. I feel like that has a lot to do with. We've had a lot of slow starts, I feel like, this year. Well, at least after the win streak.
How about that? After the win streak. But the script is only supposed to be, what, 15 plays or the first drive?
That. I absolutely hate that. Like, I hate the argument of, oh, we run those plays, we know what we're doing. Like, bullshit. You should know what you're doing on every play, regardless if it's a script or not. If you're going to run it, if you're going to play it, then you... But I just feel like with the script, you put yourself in holes that you shouldn't. With the scripts, the play doesn't match the situation. And I'm not saying I know that that's what happened, but...
Yeah, but the script's got you 11-5 record. You won your division, and you made it to the divisional
round. Script
was
7-9 the last 3. I mean, I get it, but...
And does the script?
I don't know. I think that's part of why we struggle
playing later on. There's pros and cons to this.
But again, when you say script, I mean, how often do you? I mean, how many plays do you? I've only heard the script was the first drive.
It's 10 to 15.
I mean, I only heard it was the first drive.
It's 10 to 15 plays, is from what I read years ago, is what Sean Payton and Carmichael like to do.
Right. I don't know, but see, now funny because you don't like him, but I feel. I mean, I've always felt that sometimes we do better. That first drive is really, you know, our best in some games.
We haven't been dominant on that first drive since 09.
Maybe 11. Sure, 11 we were probably dominant on the first.
Maybe so. But, okay, so 6 years ago.
But how much of the script is – how much of the problem with the script
I don't know how much
of
it was that fault.
Execution.
I feel like that's what happened was we ran into a good defense. We ran a script. There were just a couple of – if y'all remember, the very first play of the game – was a run to Ingram. Go back and watch it. The offensive line gets like 2.5 to 3 yards of push, and Ingram gets a gain of 6, right? So now you're second and 4. You just blew him off the ball. We go incomplete the next 2 plays. Why couldn't you just say, wow, let's try this again and see if it works? Run the same fucking play again. But, like, you pushed them. Go watch the play. They push him 2.5 yards off the ball line of scrimmage, and Ingram gets like a gain of 6. Like, an absolute perfect start.
The script is good, but why? Right, you got to be able to deviate here and there and get back to it if you want, but
and I don't know that he didn't win off script or whatever. I just don't. That's what it felt like to me, and I feel like that. To go back to Damon's point, we got down. We went by script. We went, you know, we 3-and-out. They score. 3-and-out. They score. Like holy shit! Like slow down, you know.
Before we even knew it. It was tough calling this. Again, I'm sure the script didn't call for Drew Brees to throw an interception in the red zone. You know, so it's a football game. Oh, it happens. Right.
And that was a tip. That was a tip by a guy who wasn't looking.
Oh, no. No, right. I mean, is that the dumbest goddamn, you know.
Luck.
Man has, right. He had his back to us, his hands are up, you know, like he's being mugged.
Well, it's like the game is fixed, but it's fixed by the football gods, not even the refs.
Right. Don't be telling me the game is fixed when that play happened. Okay, look, here's what we're going to do. You turn your back and raise your hand. Drew, you hit him right in the fucking... What? I'm disappointed in the game, but I'm very pleased with the season.
I'm not.
It sucked because...
You're not pleased with the season yet?
No, I'm pleased with the season, but that's not enough for me.
I'm not there yet.
It's not going to be easy to get. It's going to take me a while to get over it. I'm saying all the things that, you know, you have to say to yourself, like, oh, but the season exceeded expectations. You know what? At some point during this is me and Jason were talking before the show. At some point during the season, even after last week's game, you know what? I got new expectations, and they were Super Bowl champion expectations.
No, you didn't exceed
my expectations. You might have exceeded my August expectations, my week 2 expectations, but I got new expectations, and you missed. So, no, I mean, I'm pretty fucking pissed off about it. Because you know why? Because you know how hard it is to get back here.
Yeah, it's so hard.
The divisional round? Not really. I mean, that kind of
easy. The playoffs in general. Only once in our era have we, you know, gone to the playoffs back-to-back. We had the 3-year run from 09 to 11. We've never made the playoffs back-to-back years other than those 3 years. There's no guarantee we're getting back next year, even though our prospects look pretty good. And that's, as we talked last week, but, you know, you mentioned everything's Lanyap. Maybe at the beginning week I felt that way, but as we got closer to the game, I was like, fuck Lanyap, I want to win this game and keep going.
Well, you wanted to win this game, big fucking deal, you know? I mean, but that's not the truth, you know? Yes, I want to go to the Super Bowl. Then every year we could be pissed off. But you're the same one who was celebrating the fucking Tampa Bay loss, you know? I mean, you know?
Because we were back in the playoffs. We were where we needed to be. We had a chance.
This game strangely reminded me of the end of that game.
Where you give up the touchdown at the end for the team to win.
Yeah. Yep. You know? Well, seems like to me, two out of the last 3 weeks, we've done that.
If you think of the third down plays on offense in both last night and the game that you're referring to, Dame, in Tampa Bay, we got to get better short yards. Both of those
right.
are third
yep.
that we
yep.
got stuff. Like, we go – not. I'm sorry. And also Carolina last week in the playoffs. Like,
yep. Yep.
I feel like we got to get more creative. Like, I don't understand. Like, why not do that? You know that play –
So the one he's worrying about the clock, but go ahead.
But you can almost the play where you can fake the dive and then toss it out wide.
Yeah.
Why not do that with Ingram and Kamara on those plays? Like, I feel like you could tell the defense that's what you're playing, and it would be still be tough to stop. Like, you know, just one of the fake dives, Drew either gives it to Ingram or fakes it and gives it to, and tosses it out wide to Kamara. Anyway,
I believe that play is the exact fourth down play that Kamara ran against.
It was Washington for the 2-point conversion.
Well, Washington? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the 2-point conversion at the end.
Bottom line, it's 2 third-and-ones that we got stuck. Like, it shouldn't have come down.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, well, you know what? Fuck it. Throw it if it gives us a better chance. I understand you want the clock running. It was 22. I understand it was all about the clock and making them burn a timeout. But fuck it. I want the first down.
Yeah, the first down. Like you said, those timeouts are irrelevant.
No, right. Like you're saying, if everybody knows you're going to run up the middle, dude, right. You know, Walter Payton couldn't do that. You know, I mean. If you have 12 men, you know, 8 men and 12 men in the box, I mean, 11 men in the box. So I definitely get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's two. I mean, the defense won it first in Carolina, but it didn't win us for it this time. And
right. And so they talk about Marcus Williams, but he the receiver had already caught the ball. So God forbid he tackles him.
They open still your arm.
They had one timeout left, and that ball was on the, 25?
No, you're wrong. At that point, they did not have one timeout.
They didn't have
they
a timeout left.
Timeout.
So if he tackles them in
they
bounds.
They didn't have a timeout?
They called it before. They were down to 10 seconds, and that was it. They did not have a timeout.
Right. So that's why if you tackle them in bounds, they don't have enough time to get up, spike it, and kick a field goal. You just got to tackle them inside. And some of that, it has to be the coaches have to reinforce to the players to be aware, tackle them in bounds, tackle them in bounds, tackle them in bounds.
But I've seen Williams or somebody make that same exact fucking play this year.
Y'all are kidding if you think that they didn't say that, though, Jason. Like, 100% that they told those players that.
Well, he didn't remember it.
No, it's not that he didn't remember it. He went up to make the play. He got there too quick. He realized it at the last second. That he needed to basically get out of the way, and I think that in his mind,
he didn't want the
only option concerning where he was at that point because he got there too quick was to upend him and hope he lands inbounds. And I think he missed. He was not
speculating, getting into inside his head. Right, but we have to do that.
That's a completely tough play to
make. How does a player as good as he is? He's good. He's done a lot of great things. This is why he gets forgiven for it, I guess, in the long run.
I mean, shit, he had the interception earlier in the game.
Right. He's a smart, good player, one of the best safeties we've had in a long time as for that role. And what I can't get over is it goes back to the fact that you dove with your head. I mean, he looked like he was, you know, starting to
swim
team.
He was ducking.
Swimmers,
was ducking
take your mark.
Out of the way.
Ducking to get out of the way. Either way, open your arms. You have a wingspan for a reason. You're supposed – like, what happened to fundamental tackle? Like, how do you make that error? How do you – at this point in the game, how do you make the error of keeping your arms closed? It's all
he was making.
Do.
He was – he saw the ball thrown, and he was making a play on the ball, and he got there too quick is what happened. So you're saying he should have let him catch it and see what happened?
Yes.
What the deuce?
And not play, not so. Not, don't go knock the ball away. His instinct to go knock the ball away to make it incomplete.
No, that stops the clock. Let him catch it. Tackle him. Keep the clock running.
That's. I disagree. You don't.
You always no. You always knock. You always make
always
an incompletion.
Knock the ball away.
You always make an incompletion, no matter what.
Well, you can't knock the ball away with your hands in your pockets while you're diving. Like
he got there too. And that's what I'm telling you. He broke on the ball and he got there too. Quit. He said he was scared to get a pass interference call, which 100% agree with that.
Which
because,
is
you know,
the
they
first
also
time anyone in the same defense has gotten
call.
Afraid to get
but
a pass interference.
Also reminded
okay, but that's the first time anybody in the Saints defense has been scared to get a pass interference call all season.
Well, that kind of.
So I'm guaranteed the coaches said, "Don't get a fucking pass interference."
Well, I'm pretty, and I'm pretty sure that situation right there was kind of a, you know, oh my God, it's a, you know, don't get a pass interference call right
and,
here,
right,
know?
And stop the clock and give them a
I
chance.
I think it was right. completely unfortunate timing for him and us. Like that's just all it was. It was a very athletic break on the ball, and it was completely unfortunate. I think it would have been really, really tough for him to just stop, let him catch it, and tackle him. And
this is the point where
him,
right,
no,
we don't know what
hope
he
you
called.
Don't tackle him out of bounds too.
Well,
that professional athlete is going to try to get out of bounds.
But hold on! Not only did he not tackle him, he blocked the other cornerback.
Again,
who possibly
timing, and it was just everything was unfortunate.
You know, everything's unfortunate timing. You know, I mean, you know. What is it? Unfortunate timing. I mean, you know.
I guess he's so spastic he just went in and did all that and kind of on purpose.
You know, well, no one said he did it on purpose.
Well,
who the fuck
some people
it?
Do.
Who the fuck said he did it on purpose?
There are.
I didn't say he did. You think he had a couple of hundred grand on the game and he said, "Fuck, I need to. You know, I need three more points."
Yeah,
I guess
some people who think that.
No one's saying it. Who thinks that?
There are people who feel that way. The point spread was 4.5. We lost by 5. Kind of convenient that he does kind of go. The only thing he does accomplish is stopping us, anyone from the Saints, from stopping that play.
it's a crazy situation. Like I still can't believe that that happened. Like I still can't believe that that happened.
But again, if Lust doesn't miss the kick, you know.
Well,
I mean,
it goes
back to a bunch
years.
Of things.
I mean,
if Ted
I'm not getting on
his
him.
Touchdown in the first half.
I'm trying
that
to keep the,
doesn't get wiped right. away.
I'm trying to keep the fire from being solely. Under Marcus Williams' feet here.
Well,
there's so many different.
My God, we started the show saying that.
Right.
We started the show saying that it's not Marcus Williams' fault. It's not only one player.
We inevitably, and it's going to happen. It's always this show's. It's going to keep coming back to that play, because you can, at the end of the day, you know what? You're right. All that
it
stuff.
It was the largest
the
play of the game. Right.
What,
it
was right. The game laid out, played out the way it did, and this was the play. You got to make this one though. This becomes the biggest play of the game. I just hate that it's Minnesota. I mean, if you think about it, like Damon, you went into this last week. The playoff rivalry between the Saints and the Vikings just continues to grow.
Right.
Just add this one to the mix. And you know, the Falcons fans, I hate the fact that they're going to probably use this.
Take any kind of joy
us.
From it. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to troll us on it. And then, you know, we always do have the Trump card, 28-3 Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, it's still not that. And look, here's another silver lining. At the end of the day, let's say we did win this game. We go into Philly. I think that the NFC Championship, ultimately Super Bowl, they become increasingly more difficult. We lose more and more players to injury because that's the theme of the year. I mean, the silver lining is we know now that the players coming back next year, when we're fully healthy, we have a – I mean, if we
can stay healthy
next year, and even at like 50% health of this year. I mean, I got to say, it feels like we were playing with 90% of the team, the original starters.
We have 22 players on IR.
That's 100% of your offense and defense.
That is a starting offense and defense.
Mm-hmm. On IR or just injured?
On IR.
On IR.
Yeah.
Now, here's
how many starters was it?
He said,
I'm about to start. We're 22 players.
Well, but I want to say like 11.
I want to say 11. Starters. I think it's 11 starters. You're correct.
It might be 11 starters. It might be 8 to 11 in that range.
Yeah. Yeah, so almost definitely half of a roster, you know, half right. of a.
Now we say that next year is going to be better because they're going to be back, but we won with who was on the field with, not them.
Well, but you're going to lose things. You're going to lose Calamente. You know,
You might resign him. I don't know. Free agents on the way home today. It's Vaccaro, Breeze, like Calamente is like the third or fourth one.
I'd like to keep
Teo. Okafor.
I would definitely like to leave Teo. Okafor was signed on a prove it deal. I'm not sure if he exactly proved it. Spending you know 2/3 of the year on IR, I think.
Well, he proved it when
he tore his Achilles.
Well, I don't think anybody's gonna but he was 2/3 of the year on IR. I think we'll definitely be able to re-sign him.
I thought you were ready.
Good deal. Yeah.
Oh no, no, I definitely want to keep him. Okay. I mean, I don't think people's going to be wanting to, you know, knocking on the door to
fullback. Fine. It was a bunch of kind of people that are like Maori.
Yeah,
he doesn't do much. Zach Line, we don't need him. I mean, we got Kuhn and
Willie Snead.
Is he restricted? Even though he came.
I read today that he was good, like we could tender him.
No, I'd keep him. I'd keep him, especially if he's cheap.
Why?
Because he fits our
good blocker. I still think there's something.
He is a good blocker.
Dude, I was so.
Let me tell you something. Willie Snead made that incredible third down catch on the
fourth
third and two, and he went low and got it. And then he made a fourth down catch on the fourth and 10. Like
he did, he did.
He also did something else. That throw, that play call. That throw was a yard from being a complete backbreaker to him.
I love the call. Perfect call at that time. Poor execution.
You keep Willie Snead for a cheap price is all I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I can't see him. Yeah, after this year, I can't see him commanding much.
We need a receiver.
Right. You understand that right now we are $32 million under the salary cap.
Wow.
Well, Breeze is going to get that.
Yeah, right. Plus, doesn't his – I mean, I don't know how they're going to do his contract, but like part of his whole deal.
Right, okay, hold on.
Doesn't a lot of it hit it if we don't?
Well, right. As of now, if we don't extend him, then we're $20 million under the cap. If we do extend him, then we can – basically, he has $18 million due, okay, over the next 3 years. And if his contract is extended, well, you can take that $6 million
right, and spread it out.
Spread it over the 3 years. If we don't re-sign him, then it all becomes due next year. Yeah. So as of now, of that $32 million, six of that 18 already counts.
Does the tag
come into play in any of this? You don't need to worry about that.
Well, no. Well, I don't think we can tag him because at this point it would be.
Oh God, it'd be $34 million.
Yeah, it'd be $40 million.
Yeah, because he's been tagged twice in his career already.
And well, every time you're tagged,
I gotta go play dad for a little bit. I'll be back in like 10 minutes.
All right. Okay. Every time you get tagged, you get an exponential increase or something.
Some sort of increase, right? That's why Kirk Cousins. I mean, what he's made $72 million over the last 2 years, something like that.
Well, he's made like. Almost probably 40 in between 45 and 50 over the last two, and if they tag him again, he counts like 34, 35
right,
million.
Right, sorry, yeah. he'd be the same thing. It's what it if not the individual, it's you know it's a position. So right,
mm-hmm. right.
So
okay, all right. I'm gonna move us out of game.
I mean, what else to say?
Well, one thing it's a shame. In addition to the fact that we fucking lost, but the way that game ended, because Breeze had such. Breeze had a comeback for the ages in the second half, and he just once again proved his greatness, and I think that's going to be lost because we lost the fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like my feeling about the game. Like, I'm not as angry as I was at the Frisco loss in 11. Like, I was angry, depressed, mad, and everything, and now
we were the best team in the league.
Well, right. Like, as far as I'm concerned, we were the best team in the league. Now, it's like, it's... Perfect. It's frustrating. I'm more just disappointed and kind of sad because, again, it's another year that Breeze, you know, worked his magic and our defense, among other things, you know, we failed him.
Yep.
It's
the rest of the team.
Oh.
Right.
All right. I'm going to move us now into Look at Him Tweets. First tweet, Nick and RG. Coming in. Here we go. 7 drives to start the game and 0 points to show for it. Anyone riding with me on Peyton or am I still alone? That does not fall on Williams. It does not fall on Williams at the end if we don't have a big fat fucking goose egg at halftime. Also, I don't much care if we finished with the second-ranked offense. Stats are for losers. You look at me and tell me you trusted that offense to convert even the easiest of third downs.
Well, there was the problem. We've talked about that. The execution wasn't as good as it should
be. Okay. First of all, didn't Minnesota lead the entire league in third down conversions? Their defense. gave up the least third down conversions in the entire league. It was under 25%. I mean, you know, there are people on the other side of the ball who get paid also. The Minnesota, and we're playing on the road in Minnesota. Right, the first interception where there should have been points. How are you going to blame that on Sean Payton? We talked about it earlier. I mean, that was the flukiest play you've ever seen in football. The defender is literally back to the quarterback, just raising his hands.
And you have the touchdown that got called back because Ginn wasn't set. It was a great play call, and they converted it. Because Ginn wasn't set, it got called back.
Did he look like he wasn't set to you?
Yeah.
It was... Yeah, he wasn't quite there.
Really? I mean, it looked like very blatant.
It wasn't incredibly blatant, but when you saw it, like, he wasn't set when they hiked it. I mean,
I don't know how often that gets called.
Like, I don't know.
Right.
But he definitely wasn't set.
Right. But, you know, for Nick, I don't know what he has against Sean Payton. Yeah. He doesn't like his play call. I don't know. I mean, the man who's, you know, yeah. Well, then, Nick, you're the only one.
I mean, and look, not every
this is why
not
you
every not every play caller
is a perfect play caller. I mean,
Nobody's a perfect play. Even the best offensive play callers make mistakes from time to time. Like, you don't congratulate them on the good play calls. You only notice the bad ones.
And another one of those drives, the underthrow, that was execution. Love the play call. Ginn was wide open.
Right,
yeah. Underthrew him.
Right, right. That wasn't Sean Payton's fault.
Right. Yeah. It's a mix of play calling and execution. And you know what? At the end of the day, the offense didn't execute that well either.
In the first half, second half we were much better.
Yeah. All right, Preston Allen. Any fans who hang this loss on Marcus Williams, please leave. I'm more frustrated about a shutout in the entire first half. Is it the shutout in the first half, or is it that play? I think I'm kind of – this show is helping me even because I was hanging it on the play, even though I was the one also to kind of introduce the topic at hand by saying there was a lot more to it. I just did it because I have to say it. But I'm kind of convincing the show's trying to kind of convince me, yeah, it is more about the first entire half of ineptitude. Because we wouldn't be in the position in the first place.
But Minnesota is a good defense.
I don't even know
if I call it ineptitude. I mean, my God, these people are paid to stop the offense from scoring. Can you give them a little bit of a fucking credit? Or are we, you know, this isn't the 2011, 2009 Saints, where we just going to open a can of whoop-ass on everybody. No matter who you are, we're going to open the can of whoop-ass on you. You can't stop us. This isn't that offense.
No, and look, Minnesota's offense kept us in the game by not, you know, and our defense, right? That's on the other side of it, because it was only 20-0. When you think about it, 20-0. I was ready to kind of be like,
did they ever get to 20-0?
No, 17-0. And
God damn it, Jeff with his fake news again.
And I'm sitting here saying at halftime, at first I was just like, you know, oh, this fucking game is over. As halftime's going through, I'm like, hold on a minute. They just did 17-0 to us. Why couldn't we just come back and do 20-0 on them? You know, why can't we do that? Yeah, we actually could.
I never felt that ability. Yeah, at 17-0, I did not feel the game was over. I mean, my God, we score one touchdown and we're 10 points down. I mean, the game was never, you know, we're not Atlanta, for fuck's sake.
Christian Lepret, new tweeter, says, I'm grabbing my number 9 jersey and driving 3 hours to Bank of America Stadium to sweep it with my broom. No joke, we'll send video. To sweep it with my broom. Is he
what?
A Viking?
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Is he a Viking? I don't know.
Is he a Viking? He might be a Viking fan.
To sweep it with the Vikings.
You know, some Viking fan followed me on Twitter last week.
He's got one tweet. This is his only tweet. This is a troll.
Yeah.
But Viking fan, again, they're one of the little, you know, they dislike us much more than we. I don't care about the Vikings.
To sweep it with my broom.
They swept us this year. They beat us twice. Okay, I get it.
If you are a fan.
Some troll.
Then go sweep your number 9 jersey. I don't know. What do you mean by that? And maybe you can explain in your video. I'd love to hear.
Go sweep your ass. I don't care.
Right. All right, Dr. Hudat, what an incredibly fun run this year's been. From simply hoping to make the playoffs to watching four rookies become staples to an ascending team and a play away from the NFC Championship game. Ideal looked like 10-6 and the wild card after the 7-9 runs, so this season was a success in my eyes. Well, look at the doctor coming with some therapy.
No doubt. We all, I mean, I think we all have to agree this season. I am disappointed in the game yesterday, and you know, y'all are also, and but y'all will eventually, you know, get over that and say, yeah, this was a, hey, look, we had a nice, you know, 8-game run after, hey, look, after 0-2, did any of us think we'd be here?
No.
Now, if y'all remember, after that 0-2 start, I mean, we did say, look, the season isn't over yet. You know, everybody calm down, you know, get off the ledge and let's see what happens. And then we went on an 8-0 run. That was fantastic.
That was fun.
You know, that's the first game. Linda went with me to that game. And yeah, I was kind of a little salty there, you know, to the last 6 minutes or whatever it was, you know, I mean, and then we had the Atlanta game, the last game in the Dome for the season. The crowd was back, man. The crowd was back. The Carolina game, same thing in the playoffs. So,
but yeah. Like Jason had said, too, last week, this is a fun team. This is a likable group of guys.
And we didn't
see it.
They're
coming back. Most of this team is going to be back next year. And think about the experience that they now have. And then, if you can get another good draft class on top of this, the last two seasons.
And get healthy.
We've got a good foundation here. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Drew Brees leaving. I'm worried about how much it's going to cost him to stay. But I'm not worried about him going somewhere else. He wants another Super Bowl. He knows that this is the best chance he has to get it.
Yeah. No doubt. But Brees isn't leaving. He's not going anywhere else. No. I mean, where the fuck he's going to go at 38 years old? 39.
Just turned 39.
39. Yeah. 39 years old. So what? He's gonna go
Denver.
To,
they like to take these kinds of
but it's different. Peyton Manning ran his own offense. I'm sorry, Brees doesn't do that.
Yeah,
you know he's not gonna go anywhere. And again, if I had told y'all, you know, 6 months ago, Alvin Kamara and
Mark Ingram would run Adrian Mark Ingram out of town.
it's gonna run AP out of town. And they're going to account for, I think, 49.6% of the offense. You know, Toby and Thane, get the fuck out of here.
I think that was my bold prediction. Hang on.
Yeah, right?
That would have been a hell of a prediction.
Right.
speaking of, we got to get to those, huh?
No, that's after the Super Bowl, right?
We could do it in the off season.
Okay. Yeah, or next week.
Or even next week.
Yeah. Or in the bye week, yeah.
Yeah, bye week.
Okay.
But, so yes, this season was a success. Now, this is obviously, you know, our expectations going into next year and beyond are clearly going to be
high.
We're not going to settle for this.
And that's great. You know? Look, we were in the weeds for 3 years, and four if you count 2012, but that was, you know, we all know that bullshit. So, man, you know, Delvin Bro comes back next year. Fucking,
Maybe. I mean, he's a free agent.
Is he? Okay, well, fuck it.
Yeah, the draft's a free agent.
The draft is going to be there. I mean, come on, man. I mean, aren't you excited?
It is going to be an exciting offseason. Now, you said you might be able to watch or will be able to watch the games. I don't know if I'm going to watch the games.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't think I can watch the end.
I did have the feeling, even though I'm not as angry as 11, I do have the feeling of, well, football season's over. I don't really care anymore.
I'm an NFL fan. I'm sorry. I mean, I enjoy football. If I don't like the NFL, then why do I give a shit about the Saints? You know,
they have New Orleans on the jersey.
Well, but they play football. You know, there's a lot of things with New Orleans on the jersey. I don't watch.
Well, you like football, and
you know, I mean, I don't watch. Hey, Jason, can you tell me what the Privateers are doing this fucking year?
Nope. Thank you.
Right. Okay. They have New Orleans on their jersey. No.
Well, professional league and a little.
Who's the Privateers?
Right.
Right.
No. Look, I'm with you. I'm in the between. I don't know if I can watch the NFC Championship game because I hate Philadelphia as its football team, and I've always hated them since they beat us in the playoffs with Bobby Hebert. And I.
Whoa! Wait! The way you said that, you fucked up. They did not have Bobby Hebert and then beat us.
They beat
Bobby
us when we had Bobby Hebert. Yes.
Right.
I see how that came out. I hate Minnesota for obvious reasons. I think, in fact, Minnesota just passed up Dallas and San Francisco on my hate list. So, congratulations, Minnesota. You're ranked number two in teams Jeff hates the most.
Well, see, I much prefer that we're their most hated rival. We don't give a shit about them. I think that's funny.
Oh no, I hate Minnesota as a football. I've always disliked them and didn't like them.
No doubt. For me, it was because they gave us our first playoff. They beat us bad in the Dome.
So, and in any case, I don't know that I can watch it because it's two teams that I hate. There is no good that can come with this NFC Championship game. Other than whoever wins, I need them to lose the Super Bowl.
I don't hate.
I'd like to see Jacksonville win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Come on.
I bet the NFL can't wait for a Nick Foles against Blake Bortles Super Bowl.
wouldn't you pull for Jacksonville, though?
I am right now. I'm pulling for Jacksonville.
You know?
I'd like to see New England. Look, there's a part of me that would love to see New England get it. If the Saints can't win it, I want New England to win it as many times as possible because I'd love to see Bill Belichick and Tom Brady walk away with, whatever.
Amen.
I'm not a hater on that end. Nope. But it'd be kind of cool to see Jacksonville.
No. You're right. I mean, Jeff, you and I are on the same page. Whoever I'm pulling for, you're right.
Where
I'm
have
be
I gone
for
wrong?
The
So where have I gone wrong?
whoever wins the AFC, I'm gonna definitely be pulling for them.
All right, that is that. Let's get into pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Your last several weeks have not been good. Week 17, you went 0-5. Last week, you went 1-3, and again this past week, you went 1-3.
Yeah.
So, and I went 3-1. You know, we all lost New Orleans. That was my only loss this week.
You know, the only person in the entire Pick'ems that won the New Orleans game was Jim Bowl home team Rance because of his option to take all home.
It's your fault they lost, Jim Bowl. It's your fault.
Fuck Jim Bowl.
Plenty of blame to go around.
He's out. I don't want him on the thing anymore. Fuck him.
You're disqualified.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
Master.
So Jacksonville finally didn't fuck me.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm going to pop you.
So of the three of us heading into this week, Jeff and I are now tied at 44-46.
Wow.
With Damon being at 38-47.
I'm 38, and you're 44? Six games? As bad as I've been, I ain't bad.
So there's three games left between me and Jason to duke it out.
Y'all text me, y'all pick, so one doesn't get an advantage over the other. Then I'll just tell y'all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
We'll do that. I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all text me, and then I will reveal what y'all texted.
Okay,
you know?
We'll do that tonight. So on the show. Yeah.
Or I was probably just going to pick whoever Jeff picked. I was just going to pick the other team.
No, but that's Damon's point is. It's better to just...
Okay, I got
it. That way you don't have to... You know, you can do that next week for the Super Bowl.
If we split this week, yeah.
If y'all split this week, if y'all still come in tied for the Super Bowl week, then you...
I'll do the big picture here. Jim Bowl, clear, still the winner, the leader, 48-42. And actually, that means he just won.
Yeah, he can't be caught.
He can't be caught. However, if we're sorting by percent, and we do have some people who may have missed a week and still could beat him, like Vincent Burke, who's in second place with a 500 record at 38-38. So if Vincent Burke could actually get better than a 533 percentage. You know, who knows? So he's not completely uncatchable. But anyway, it goes Jim Bowl, then Vincent Burke, then Jason and Jeff tied. Doug. Doug right there.
Doug came back tremendously.
Yeah,
he must have called a professional to make his picks for him. Then, or he just followed me until the last 3 weeks. And then you got Life of Ty, Davis Douglas, Neil, Damon, CJG, Gerald Booty, Wheels, Hudat Fitz, Greenbaum, Miso Mad, Preston Allen, Triple D, Ed Hunt, Chris McGuire, Scott Waters, Ryan Angier, Near, Hungry Hudat, Dr. Hudat, Emmanuel, EJ Pasternot, Random thoughts, Ryan Guidry, Betty 11, Hoot at NutsX, Saints Fan UK, Ben Wright, Brandon Guidry.
All right, here we go.
On that one, but go ahead.
Championship week. Jacksonville Jaguars coming off a stunning win at Pittsburgh. Leonard Fournette rushing for a bunch of touchdowns. Blake Bortles looking competent. Their defense had a scoop and score. Now, I don't know what – I know Fournette left the first half with an ankle injury. They fucking shot him up Bud Kilmer style and brought him back in the game. So who knows what his ankle's
did y'all did y'all watch that game? I was going to watch Channel 8 had a tailgate special, you know, just talking about the Saints and everything. And I had no interest in watching that Jacksonville fucking Pittsburgh game. That was a great game. That was an entertaining game. Jacksonville deserves to be where they are. Now look, I know, you know, people have been poo-pooing Blake Bortles all year, and I have to confess, I don't think I watched one Jacksonville game all year long.
So how could you poo-poo him, right?
Well, right, just listen to what people say. But anyway, you know, he looked very competent against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
yeah, I mean,
right?
they jumped out to a big lead.
Yeah, so congratulations, you know. They came in there and smacked him on the – they smacked him. And they said, we ain't scared to smack you around.
Speaking of getting smacked around, Travis to New England, who smacked around Tennessee last week.
Not even funny.
New England doing New England things, you know.
Not even fun.
I don't know. Tennessee scored first, and you're like, holy shit, we might have a game. And then, nope. So they travel to New England. This is the earlier game on Sunday, and New England's favored by 9.5.
I'm going to take Jacksonville. Not that it matters, but I think that's too high a point spread. Jacksonville's defense are the real deal. They're a spunky team. I'm going to take Jacksonville, and I think an easy cover the spread. Y'all are going to text me, right?
Yeah, we have to text Damon our picks.
Okay. All right. And then our next game, NFC.
Whoa, I don't get a pick? I don't get a pick?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
I'm gonna take...
It doesn't matter.
But
I mean, is he in the game?
No, he's not in the pick'ems, but he's on
What's
the show.
My record?
Let him make his pick.
You have my record?
No.
You have my record?
I have them written down. Whatever you were on, I have them written down. Hold on.
My pick is in.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
It's locked in now.
Jeff's pick is in. I got it.
I heard it. I like that.
Uh-huh. That is good. Jason, where's your pick?
Yeah, he's scared. That's what he is. He's scared.
Looking for Courtney's picks.
Well, while you look, I'll talk. I think the sexy pick is Jacksonville. I think the smart pick is New England. Like, if you want your, you want to go with your heart, you know, you go with Jacksonville because none of us want New England to win it again. At least I don't.
I do.
And Fournette's on Jacksonville, but I think the smart bet is on New England. So I'm going to take New England.
I can't find Courtney's picks.
That's all right.
See, I told you it was.
You could
so
have made it up. Courtney doesn't even
right.
need Courtney's
no,
picks.
No, I did. I did two of them. It was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, wait. If you did week 14, I think you went 4-1.
I think we're at 8-2 total. Is my
okay? Does it matter? I mean,
Yeah, Courtney, you're 8-2. That's right. You're 8-2.
That's a high percentage.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's good.
All right, man.
8-2. That's what you want. That's good. You're 8-2.
All right, and now our next game, NFC.
Well, wait a second.
Jason didn't text his pick.
Jason,
all right.
What are you trying to do here? You're trying to manipulate the system.
He's trying to cheat somehow.
Yeah. Well,
all right, relax.
You know he's a cheater.
Speaking of cheating, while Jason does take the 30 minutes to get his pick in, I will say there was something else I meant to bring up during game recap. Was
have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Where Sean Payton says that his two challenges, the reason he did it what he did when he did how he did was
because he's bad at challenges.
Because their Saints replay monitor that they are allowed to use up in the booth was malfunctioning and wasn't working. And it was the only monitor in the entire stadium that had problems, that wasn't connected correctly.
Wow.
Now, you tell me, coincidence? I think
you're
not.
Making that part up.
No, I read it on the internet, Courtney.
Well, then we know it's true.
Yeah.
shit. I didn't have
my information.
All right. I have.
Hold on. I'm just saying. Our monitor was down, he explained Monday, per Josh Kazikstein of NOLA.com. Our booth was the only. This is quoting Sean Payton. Our booth was the only booth that did not have a feed to it. So you just got to go with your gut. And fortunately, it wasn't an issue with the timeouts. Our booth was the only booth.
I don't
Sean
believe
Payton
that.
Said it, Courtney.
Courtney, this is the same team who used to pump noise into their stadium.
I get it, but that to me, like,
well, hey, because it's petty and shitty because you know the NFL
because
doesn't,
because the NFL doesn't want to cover they, the NFL doesn't acknowledge something like that.
They don't care about that. It's you know.
Well, they. I mean, if a coach's headset goes out, the other team has to take their headsets off.
Well, that's a headset.
That's I understand. I get it. But
sounds like Bill Belichick had
to me, that's a distinct advantage to one team. Like, that's just not mediocre. That's a distinct advantage.
No doubt.
Yeah. So is the replay booth.
Cornea, the science denier, or whatever that would be equatable to this.
Republican.
I just would think the NFL would sanction tougher.
What is the picks?
All right. The picks came in. And Jason picks the Jacksonville Jaguars, while Jeff goes with the New England Patriots.
Woo!
So we will have separation. Right,
are y'all there. One game off?
We're tied.
They're tied.
What place?
First, second, no, third.
Out of us, first, but overall, first,
second, third,
overall,
fifth.
Third.
Ninth.
We're still under 500, though.
Tied for overall for third. That's impressive. All right. And a lot of people, right? Like,
yeah.
20 people.
30. Yeah. Jeff, like 30, 20, 8. 30. Seven. Seven up.
Like 1, 2, 3.
The good news is, Courtney, I'm beating the shit out of Green Bomb. That was my only goal at the beginning of the season. All right. Can we move along to the next game?
Sure.
Please.
Probably won't watch.
For you. Shit.
Vikings at the Eagles. I don't know about the Vikings. Eagles beating Atlanta at home. Nick Foles getting the job done. This is the late game Sunday, and the Eagles... are getting 3.5.
The Eagles are getting 3.5?
At home, yep.
Fly, Eagles fly, or whatever their motto is. You would think it'd be fly.
All right, Courtney, you do your talking while we text our picks to Damon.
I think my pick is going to be Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to be out of control defense. I don't think Foles is going to be able to do much against them, and I think Minnesota will just take away the offense. It'll be a relatively low-scoring blowout. So I'm going to say like 24-0, 24-3, 24-7. Like, Minnesota's going to win by 2 scores, relatively low-scoring game.
Okay. Sorry for that, people. Wow. Y'all are really something here.
Jason sends
it. Yeah. Yes. Jeff has taken the Minnesota Vikings, while Jason has chosen the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow.
So we could possibly have another tie going into next week.
For the Super Bowl.
That would be funny.
It's all
that would be
fixed,
funny.
Folks. It is all fixed.
That would be funny.
We have paid Marcus Williams to blow this week so that Jason and I could have a showdown. So that is the picks. Get your tweets in. It's only 2 games this week. Should be a quick and easy one. Now it's time for... Wait, we don't have Saints preview.
Sad.
Then any final thoughts then? Pick a topic, final thoughts, if that's what you want it to be.
Courtney,
you got something you want to say?
Yeah, I guess I'll speak my mind on my thoughts in the game. So my reaction to it, like, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, man, like, what just happened? Like, is that really how this game's going to end? And Charles just starts bawling, crying, my 8-year-old. So the other two start crying, too. I mean, we had all been into the game, you know, all of us.
Did you smack them?
So they're bawling.
Why they were crying?
They're bawling, crying. And I'm mad at first, and I feel myself like, I'm like, I want to throw something. I want to do whatever. And I just kind of flipped my head at the TV because I didn't want to make a scene in front of the kids. And
the TV falls. Break, shatters everything.
So,
the house
so anyway,
on fire because
go,
the lamp fell.
But then I had to go kind of play dad later with Charles. Like, he's in bed. He's bummed out. And I'm like, look, you know what? Like, and I kind of fell into my own wisdom here. I'm like, this is sports. Like, this is why we enjoy it. Like, and I know it sucks and we're down and everything, but this is like, this is what makes the high so good, I guess, is experiencing lows like this. And this definitely, I think, was the most, I'm more devastated for this than I was the San Francisco one.
Yeah.
Cause
really?
This is flukish. This is like, you don't lose like this. You don't lose. Look, I've gambled a lot on sports and I've seen the line flip on last plays. I'm like, this is so just rare of a way to lose it, especially in the NFL. And I don't know. It sucks, but it just, that's what the experience is sports. And you just have to learn more from your losses than you do your wins. And this is what makes it all kind of worth it when you do win. And I guess, I don't know, maybe because we're Cubs fans and Saints fans and LSU didn't win until we were a little bit older, but this is what makes the championships go so good, is experience and stuff like this. So in any way, in a very weird way, it's kind of like, it's living, you know, it's experiencing the emotions of, for that reason, I'm not as, you know, it makes me feel a little bit better about it, but fuck, I was pissed. Like, the first 3 minutes after it happened, I was like, I really could justify breaking my TV right now and just bite the bullet and have to buy a new one. Like, I was really pissed, but whatever.
You have to keep it cool in front of the kids.
Yeah.
You know, you just helped us all. I think you helped all the listeners. You helped me. You helped everybody. You're right. This is what makes – that's why the Super Bowl in 2009 was so special for us, because we
ignored – Yeah, it's so hard. And then you think about what New England's done, and you're just like, fuck that. How do they do that? Because it's so hard to win a Super Bowl. And this just, you know, shows it. And
but they can't appreciate them like we do.
Right. And it almost sucks. It's almost better, you know, that they can't appreciate. I don't know.
I'll tell you real quick. You know, my kid, we wake up, you know, I had to kind of contain my anger. I just basically stood there for a good 7 minutes, not, you know, just still staring at the TV in disbelief. And then I guess they kind of heard some of the texts I was sending, or because I was kind of telling Andre about them too or whatever. So this morning we wake up and I was thinking the same thing, Courtney. I was like, I gotta like let them know, like, it's okay. Like, we're not gonna give up on the Saints. Yes, we hate the Vikings, but when mine gets up and he goes, they shouldn't have let Marcus Williams on the plane after that. Because that was me at the end of it. I mean, I had that irrational reaction. I'm like, I'd fire that son of a bitch before he even had a chance to get on the plane. Fuck that motherfucker. I was pissed. I was mad. I didn't say fuck that motherfucker in front of my kids. But I did jump on him and on Marcus Williams in front of them. And yeah, they took that note. So I had to do the whole, you know what, guys? He's a rookie. It's his first year. He's been an excellent player all year. He made a mistake. This doesn't define who he is and what he's going to be for this team. I said, he's going to come back next year. He's going to learn from this. And I guarantee you, he's not going to make that mistake ever again. You got to learn from it. So
learn it,
Sammy. Marcus, shut up. And then he comes out with his letter, you know, his tweet to fans with the same thing. Like, you know, this one play doesn't define me as a player or a man, you know.
Well, there's no doubt. Anybody who doesn't like Marcus Williams should definitely leave and go fuck yourself. Even Alvin Kamara, he tweeted something about give love to, you know, to Marcus Williams. Yeah, this is not Marcus Williams' fault by any stretch of the imagination. So
we lost this thing together.
Right.
All right. I'll leave you with this, you know, to help build your excitement in the off season for next season. Next year's Super Bowl is in the metal asshole.
Oh,
I would trade 2 Super Bowls to win it next year in the metal asshole, right?
Wow.
Yes, I would. Oh my goodness. Oh, please.
That's why we lost this one. Okay.
So that's right? Where, like, I'm going to get my fucking hopes up. Like, I'm all in next year.
If we can win there.
All in next year.
That is the ultimate. It's our house. We own it.
I love it. But I'm feeling really good the day after.
Yeah.
I knew that was like your little tone up there, you crazy bastard.
I mean, I got to tell you, you guys have really helped me through this tough time. Damon, do you got any other consolation, words of wisdom, get us out of this funk?
Well, I mean, I can't beat the one that Jason just laid on us. I mean, that is just too good. I can't even come close to that one. I'm going to go start burning gree right now and whatever else I need to do to really put the gods on it.
That's awesome.
But no, it is. It is. And like I said, we've had a very successful year after coming off of three 7-9 seasons, starting the season 0-2. None of us thought we'd be here. Young team, you know, great quarterback who has no sign of slowing down. So I think our Super Bowl window is back open, folks. Let's get excited.
Yeah. One window shut. Well, y'all forgot. This is one of the houses with more than one window.
Okay, open it back up.
We got hurricane windows.
That's right. That's some plantation shutters you got over there.
Yeah. You open it up, let the bees in.
That's right. Oh!
You got a crosswind. You got a front and a back.
There you go. All right, that's the show we got for y'all right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, 2017 season, donkeys.
See you next year.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
We are all traveling in the footsteps of those that come before, and we'll all be reunited on that new and sunlit shore. When the saints were marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. And when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine, Lord, how I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, how I want to be there on that morning when the saints go marching.
When the trumpet sounds its call, when the trumpet, trumpet sounds its call, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, how I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Now some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Lord, how I want there on that morning when a new world is revealed. Oh, when a saint marching in, when a saint go marching in, Lord, I won't be in that number when the saints go marching in. Lord, I won't,
Lord, how I won't
be in that number,
be in that number
when the saints go marching in.
Yes, Mark Anthony Thompson. Here's Patty Scott.